Hey, everybody. Today's a great day. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, as I always say. And we are going to be talking to two compadres that are pretty cool. Have you ever had that really scary uncle? Kind of like Eddie at a Christmas Vacation when he says, hey, these three people walk into a bar. Well, I know two compadres that are part of that bar, and I'm the third bonehead that's part of that crew. My name is Stu Turley. President and CEO of the Sandstone Group. We're here with three podcasters walking into a bar. First podcaster coming around is the David Blackman. I'll tell you what, David Blackman is a Forbes contributing author, and he has got two other podcasts, and they are extremely successful with lots of downloads and worldwide impact. Your energy question is doing phenomenal, David. And you're also on the energy transition, and you've got four people. You cover Brazil, Dallas, Texas. Texas is its own country. So that's, you know, that's not bad. And then you got London, and then you got Bulgaria. Welcome, David. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you for having me, man. This is awesome. Energy Transition podcast is a hoot, man. We had a lot of fun this morning talking about, anyway, we'll talk. We'll get into that here in a minute.
All right. And then we have RT. RT is not only a EMP operator, he's a big dog over there at Pecos Operating. But Pecos Operating is his side business. His real business and passion is being a podcast host over at The Crude Truth. And I mean, The Crude Truth's taking off, baby. I really enjoy listening to The Crude Truth. Thank you for stopping by.
Oh, man, Stu, thank you for having me. I tell you what, it'd be nice one day if The Crude Truth could take off in a way that I would never even imagine it would. Well, but we're doing good over at Pecos Operating, and we can't complain, and we're staying busy. So I'm excited, like you guys, to be here again on another wonderful Monday, and it's a lot cooler than it was last Monday.
Right.
Or a lot warmer, I should say.
It's a lot warmer. I was going to say, man.
Yeah, a lot warmer. And unfortunately, our plan of attack for last week did not work. Our whole plan was to get me down to NAEP and to meet up with David Blackman to try to look smart like he is smart. And that just did not work out. I didn't get out of town. And I was here in the great city of Fort Worth 3 days straight with my wife and my little one-year-old son. I can't complain. That's a great thing, but definitely did not get a chance to make it to NAEP. I heard there were some great connections. And David, I've heard nothing but great things about your discussion with Doug Sheridan from last
week. It was fun. And Ed Crooks from Wood Mackenzie was the moderator. And we had a great panel discussion. I'm hoping to get the video here in the next day or two so I can post it up on my Substack for everybody to view.
Oh, we ought to put it out as a energy question podcast. Right. I think that would be phenomenal.
I think that'd be good. Yeah.
You know, David, on our new marketing material, since you guys are part of the Sandstone Media Group, you know, we got new pictures coming out and everything else. So, you know, if you're going to be impotent, you might as well look impotent, right? As we say in Oklahoma, anyway.
Well, at my age, that's easy to do. Look impotent.
Yeah.
For our podcast listeners here, our podcast, since we get most of our traction on podcast, I'm wearing a 10-gallon hat, and I'm doing my, Dwight Yoakam? He brings it down like this, and he's always, you can never see him, but then you pull off. Have you ever seen Dwight Yoakam? Looks just like me. He's got tan for a skin color.
It's the reason why he wears that hat everywhere he goes.
I love me some Dwight Yoakam, though. But, you know, RT, you had some great stories coming around the corner. We've got an action-packed show that we're sitting here. And, hey, as our favorite listeners out there, I have a live media kit that we are starting to put together. It's already together. It's in a Pelican box, and we're going to start having here in the next month or so, we're going to start going to live bars, and we're going to want, that's where I'm going to be wearing my hat, and you guys can sign the hat, you know, instead of like signing somebody's chest or something. But you're going to be able to come by, and we're going to actually have events where we have live podcasts. So anyway, RT, you had some fabulous points to make. And I mean, I was busting the gut listening to you.
Well, you know, it's amazing what a week has done. First of all, you know, let's just talk about what's going on in the world right now, or really here in America. I mean, did you guys hear about that thing that happened in Los Angeles this past week?
Oh, it was disgusting. It was funny, and I thought it was a joke at first.
That's exactly, like, you know, I almost thought they were building up a joke, no different than what you do at the beginning. Oh. David, did you hear about this?
I have no idea what y'all are talking about.
Oh my gosh, it was terrible. I don't have any details, okay, because it's almost too hard to believe that the police in Los Angeles shot a man with no leg this past week. He was in a wheelchair or something like that.
I thought, you know, RT, I'll let you go on this. I thought it was like Monty Python in the old days when they would have a garden party and blood was going everywhere. And okay, I'm laughing at that. I was not laughing at that.
No.
That guy, he had a knife. He went to a knife with no legs. He went to a gunfight with no legs and a knife. And it was.
And the police shot him.
Yeah, they shot him, David.
Was he threatening anybody?
Get this. Okay. I'm all for the police 110%. Yes. Okay. But LA doesn't even have body cam anymore. Not anymore. They don't have body cam. So they got to get stuff from other cameras or something like that.
And I saw part of the video, and it was, at first I thought it was a joke. I mean, he was like, do you guys remember Trading Places with Eddie Murphy?
Yes.
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 One of the best scenes in the world. I can see, you know, and I mean, I love it. And then I'm sitting here going, it was terrible. I'm going to go riot just because of this.
I hope not. Yeah. No, it was terrible, David. And then the other thing, you know, as we're sitting here, did the Chinese contact you guys at all last week? Because they tried to get a hold of
I think they overflew my house. Yeah. Pretty sure they were up here in the air above Mansfield.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the jet stream comes down this far, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us about that balloon. Everybody in the whole world heard about it.
Well, I mean, I tell you what, I'll go there for a second. I think it's more of a conspiracy than it is anything else that.
Why do you think
basically,
that?
Well, no, it's real. No, let me rephrase that. I'm sorry. It was real, but I really feel like it was the epitome of quick look up while they did other stuff and distracting us all week.
Right.
That's really what I think it was really more about. And then all of a sudden, did y'all hear, read the report that a Biden administrative official, this was a CNN report, but they won't say who it was, said that more of these went through during Trump's administration.
Right.
He just let them, and it's like, so.
Which is nonsense, by the way.
Yes.
It was a lie. I saw that article. It was a lie.
It's like, guys, just look, y'all were doing something else. Y'all shot it down after it was over. Look, I love Montana. I love the show Yellowstone. Okay. Great show. Right. Okay. However, I'm pretty sure you could have shot it down in Montana.
You could have had Rip just take that balloon to the train station, right?
There you go. Yes. Hey, have you caught up yet, David, on Yellowstone?
I have. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
What do Absolutely. You think, man? Stu, what does this
have to do with energy?
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Okay.
Let's rein you back in. Okay. This China does have a impact on energy, and I'll go there in just a sec. Let me back up for 1 second. Balloons started in World War II. Japan was going on, and they were bringing them up and then flowing them over. My dad, 50 years ago, before he went to Vietnam, was scrambled out of Idaho and was responding to balloons. You know how they handled it back then? They shot them silly things down. Wow. I am irritated, even though if it's a wag the dog day, you shoot these things down. Now, everybody's sitting here kind of, and I'm sorry for getting a little bit violent, and I'm getting all worked up here. My blood pressure's just gone through my ear. Here's part of the problem on this. Everybody says, they can get pictures. They can get more than that. They can get down to the inch with those new cameras, and they can get cell phone data. They can get towers. They can get locations of any radio material. They can get police stations. They can get any of this stuff. That is the key difference, because if you're wanting to come in and you want to do some red, what is it, red, whatever it is that hangs out. What was it, the Red Dawn when they parachuted in? You ever want to do a Red Dawn on the U.S.? You want to know where those cell phone towers are and everything else. And I'm not doing a conspiracy theory here on this. Why are we allowing this when they've even got wind farms and they've got Chinese radios right outside in Texas listening to all this stuff? Well, that's the part nobody's talking about.
Well, just to link this, actually, this discussion to energy, you could also be taking a look at and mapping key infrastructure related to our power grid.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, that's really a big concern to me, is the security of the power grid. And, you know, if you're going to, not that I'm saying China's about to invade the United States, but if you were going to, a really good way to disable the mobility in this country would be to attack the power grid and disable the grid.
And as RT, you know what an EMP is, RT?
I do, actually. That's an electronic. Electromagnetic pulse. Thank you. Not electronic. And, you know, that's funny, kind of bringing it back. but bringing it back to the wind turbines, did you guys hear the story about one of the largest wind turbine companies? They're based out of Germany, and what they lost for the quarter of the last quarter from October to December of 2022?
What's a few billion between friends? Yeah, what's a few billion between friends?
They lost $1 billion they lost. And what this company is calling for is for further government action. They're basically blaming all these losses that they had as this giant wind turbine company on lack of permits and the lack of support. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
What country was this?
Germany. They're out of Germany.
Oh, Germany.
Called the Siemens Gamesa.
Siemens Gamesa. Yeah.
Siemens Gamesa.
David's a smart one in the room.
Yeah, I read the same story. Yeah,
this would not be a story without David.
No. And I mean, just how can you? I mean, to me, that just says, hey, I need more government subsidies more than it does anything else. And but it also really dictates, in my opinion, the market and capitalism, which is, you want to do a transition, let the market decide how the transition goes. Because right now, again, as a oil and gas entrepreneur, okay, as an EMP producer, I look for other investment. And right now, wind is not an investment where I'm going to receive a return on my investment in a decent amount of time, right? And this really just goes to show you how much money is being lost every year on all these wind turbines and solar farms as well.
Well, yeah, you're not going to see a return on investment without the subsidies, for sure. And the fact that this giant company, Siemens Gamesa, is a subsidiary of Siemens. It's a joint venture between those two companies to do these wind farm installations. And but Siemens is this giant corporation that has existed in Germany for over a century. Okay, and it's really unseemly for these enormous companies like this to be now saying that one feeding at the government subsidy trough isn't enough for us, a company with all this capability and financial infrastructure, to be able to make a profitable go of these wind farms. And so how much is ever going to be enough is my question. Honestly, I don't think any amount of subsidies will ever satisfy the appetite of some of these companies. And it's really, I just thought that whole story was frankly disgusting.
And David, I want both of you to talk about this. I think it rolled into two other stories, and there's a big bunch of stories going along with the wind farms. There's a whole pandemic going on right now of the big wind turbines falling over. There's a bunch of them falling over.
Yeah. They're having a problem with stability, structural stability. The problem, wind is so limited. The only innovation you can do with wind is to go higher, keep going higher and higher. You know, 10 years ago, those structures were 200, 300 feet tall, and then they started making them 500 feet tall, because the higher you go, the faster the wind blows. Right. And now some of these things, these towers are 700 feet tall. Wow. And when one of those damn things falls down, it's like the Tower of the Americas falling over.
Wow. Hang on. This is Joe Biden. Joe? Wait a minute. You want to do what? Hey, he's got a great idea. He just heard from President Xi. They're going to put windmills on balloons as they come across.
There you go.
Hey, I'll talk to you later, Joe.
Wait, so some of these wind turbines are now as tall as, like, I visit San Antonio on a pretty, that Tower of America is no joke.
It's 700 feet tall. The Tower of America is 700 feet tall. The Space Needle in Seattle is only 600 feet tall. There's wind turbines taller than that dang thing.
That is dangerous. And
that brings up the other one. It is the one where we have when we had the whale. The whales were the biggest stories last week. Seven whales.
And the offshore wind.
And the offshore wind, we talked about it. And it's like all of a sudden the vibrations are driving everybody. And another article came out this weekend that said, I thought it was them just running into the stands, because the stands in the under, there's you have them where they come in, then you have them where they're fanned out and they're normal like oil derricks. Right. And then they have them floating. It's the vibrations that drive them nuts.
Well, they're all sonar. I mean, they use sonar like it's going out at, you know, they're natural sonar creatures. And it is what is, I mean, the what vibration. The heck happened to the, I mean, what happened to save the whales, by Substack article about that this week. And I love fishing. I love hunting and I don't want to hurt anything. I use those offshore oil rigs to go deep sea fishing because those turn into reefs, like they're man-made reefs. Right. But to see these creatures that are 50, 100 years old, wash up on shore because of these man-made stuff. And we're only going to continue to build these platforms that damage our sea life. And somebody made a great point that the plankton helps create like a ton of oxygen somehow, I think, for the world. And that the whales with the plankton, the circle of life, right? The Lion King, right. The original, 1993. It's the circle of life. And right.
Plankton is huge.
Yeah, it's just dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, it's a problem. I mean, but we have ignored so many environmental and human rights issues related to renewable energy. I would say, the wind industry is going to have to figure that out. But I mean, we ignore the use of slave labor in China. We ignore the use of child labor in Africa to get copper, cobalt. Yeah. And so it's just like, well, if it's wind, we ignore the fact that wind turbines are the second or third largest global killer of birds on Earth, and kill more and more every year as more and more turbines go up.
Yep.
So I guess we'll ignore the whales dying too, so we can get this quote green energy, which it really isn't all that green, but that's another story.
I tell you what, first of all, whatever happened to the save the whales, blank the seals,
Are you saying you club baby seals?
No, I did not say that.
Oh,
but we could almost do like something, because you just said it right, David, and I want to make that point. Why do we ignore the environment when it comes to renewable, aka green energy sources? And that's a great point right there, David. And we could almost do a whole discussion on that, and I bet people would pay top dollar for that discussion.
Right. Top dollar. And on my Substack that I'm stealing all of David's stuff, as RT would say, I'm stealing all of David's stuff.
It's there for the taking, folks.
It is there. It's good stuff, a lot better than mine. But on my Substack, I said there's three different stages of whale and interaction with whales and people in the U.S. One, oil saved the whales because kerosene was being made by whales. Bring in oil and bring in it. It went to kerosene. All of a sudden, it was not worth anything anymore. And oil in the United States saved the whales. You come into the next piece of it, and ESG funding, and I've got a bunch of other stuff on that we'll talk about in the next ones, but ESG funding is killing selling the U.S. So then you have all the ESG funding going to green and the green subsidies, and then that's going in and it's now killing the whales. So now it's evolved back again. Can oil save the whales the second time? And if you sit back and kind of look about this orderly progression, maybe oil will be saving the whales the second time.
That's deep right there, Stu.
Man, I tell you, that's quite the thought process going on.
Are you okay?
That cowboy hat.
I know, man.
Holy cow. You talk about green energy, ESG investing, ESG investors.
Yeah.
Three of the biggest investors in Siemens Gamesa. Siemens owns 51% of the company.
Wow.
But the other 49% is owned by other investors, including the biggest, BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street. ESG investors are part of that $1 billion loss on wind energy. And guess who's paying for that ultimately? All the retirees like me who have investments in Vanguard and BlackRock funds, right? And so I'm calling my investment advisor today and telling him to get the hell out of those funds.
Do it. Hey, David, I know we've got a good full day ahead of us today, but did you by chance read that Substack that Ed Ireland did about how natural gas with ERCOT and all that fun stuff this week?
Yeah.
And here we had bad weather again, and once again, natural gas is what kept us all warm. And I think you even did an absurdity about that, if I'm correct.
Right. What happened in Texas last week? It got cold and it got cloudy and icy. And all of that means that renewables are going to underperform, only deliver a small percentage of their nameplate capacity. And so what happened? Well, the grid became very heavy natural gas, and natural gas got us through there with no upsets on the grid this time.
Yes.
At all. Newsweek filed a completely false report this morning.
Oh, wow.
Claiming that the Texas grid had failures, and it's a problem for Governor Abbott. Hell, Governor Abbott ought to be taking a victory lap right now. Right. There were 400,000 Texans who lost power. Guess who 250,000 of them were? They were people in Austin. Austin has its own utility, Austin Energy, which is not connected to the grid, and it suffered massive failures.
Nice.
You can't blame the governor, and you can't blame ERCOT for that, folks. Sorry. The other 150,000 who lost power were around the state when trees and branches from trees fell on power lines and knock power out in very limited areas across the state. There's 30 million people in Texas, and only 150,000 of them lost power. So Newsweek filed a completely false report and should be ashamed of themselves for being so ignorant about what's really going on in Texas.
I find that hilarious when Austin is probably the Mother Nature capital of Texas and 250 of them didn't have it. And then the other 150,000,
well, it used to be.
It was Mother Nature that caused the power lines to break, you know. And
our fan base ain't big in Austin. I can look at the stats on where people listen.
Yeah.
They don't like us because we actually speak the truth.
Well, and also I want to comment to all of our like up north listeners that, you know, we have ice here in Texas. We don't get snow to where we can drive. It gets ice and to where it's really, it gets on the roads and it stays there for 24 hours. So, you know, for our listeners out there, no, it's not a little bit of snow that we were shut down for. It was ice that we were shut down for.
Yeah.
Let our listeners know that, hey, we know what it is. And then I love how they're named them too, David. This was called Winter Storm Mara. And I mean, where are they? Why? Why do we need
it? Well, because it's easier to catastrophize a pretty standard issue Texas winter storm if you give it a name, right?
Oh, okay.
That's why they name them.
Didn't you have a thing from Irina this morning on something that was actually pretty hilarious? The wind farms in Scotland are having to run on diesel.
Yeah. That was quite a story. Yeah. That came from Irina Slav and Tammy Nemeth and my fellow podcasters on the Energy Transition podcast. And a whistleblower who actually worked for this Scottish energy wind farm blew the whistle and said that, when it got really cold over there in Scotland in recent weeks, they had to install diesel generators to prevent the wind turbines from freezing up. Okay. So your renewable green energy in Scotland was being provided only thanks to diesel generators preventing the turbines from freezing up. That's the truth about your green energy.
You know, it takes a village to raise an idiot. And that just is amazing. When you sit back and think about it, last summer, guys, we ran a story on Energy Newsbeat, energynewsbeat.com, best website in the world. I happen to be opinionated, but it ran on 14,000 trees in Scotland had been cut down for their wind farms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That went absolutely ballistic. Our server was just going, hey, yeah. McFly, hey, what's going on? I mean, it went ballistic. And so if you take, then last week we ran a story on Scotland, and last week the pollution now is killing people over there because the plastic on all the wind farm rolling around is now they're breaking off, they're falling off, and those plastic is getting into the livestock. And so now they've got a pollution problem going on, and I'm interviewing some people coming up this Thursday. There's something that is not being talked about in the wind industry, and it's the number of deaths in the field from the wind farms. And it's not because guys are flying by on their wind, you know, their little private little, little airplanes and stuff that they've, you know, the parachutes with the motor on the back, you know, that's a technical term, whatever that is. No, it's actually workers. This lady had to quit because they were having one a month from people dying on the job on wind farms. I can't find stats on this. And she said it's a national problem. Okay, which one? Open border, drugs coming across, you got, you know, all this kind of stuff, and then you got wind farm deaths. I can't find the numbers.
It's all right. We can't find the COVID numbers either. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, you can't find accurate COVID numbers. You can find COVID numbers, but you can't trust them.
Yeah, man. It just goes to show you that we are living in the most upside down world ever. I mean, and I've said that before, and I'm sure I'll say it again, that, you know, that your absurdity today, I mean, that just goes beyond absurd. I mean, you know, we are living in a world that does not understand itself anymore, I think.
Well, like I always say, it's the most target-rich environment imaginable. You just, I mean, I could do 20 of them a day, frankly. Yeah.
You know, David, your absurdity of the day is phenomenal. I live for that absurdity of the day. And if it's not there on a time...
you need to get more of a life, Stu. I'm worried about that.
I work 19 hours a day, and my wife snores. And so when my beloved bride snores, and I'm laying there asleep, and all of a sudden I hear, you know, snoring, if she stops snoring, I absolutely freak out. I'm like, is she dead? You know, and then I can't sleep unless she's snoring. Same thing with you, David. I can't live my day until I read... And it's on your Substack.
And God, that's too much responsibility, Stu. You can't do that to me.
My poor wife. Just kidding. No. Let's see. My wife snoring or energy absurdity of the day. And RT, your crude truth is absolutely phenomenal. Are we going to change the name of the crude truth to you can't use energy absurdity of the day. So the crude energy absurdity of the day, energy news beat crude truth. I don't know. You're always stealing material from both of us. So why not steal the names of our podcasts?
There you go. There you go.
No, it's for sale, by the way. I'm easy money here.
Yeah, yeah. No, I enjoy it, and I tell you what, just the opportunity to work with you guys and bounce ideas off. You know, I had another radio interview I did late last week, and you know, I called Stu up this time, David. You know, I've called you up as well in the past, and the first thing I said when because gas prices have gone up now for 5 weeks in a row, and the first thing I told the radio guy, the DJs, was, you know, do y'all ever want to talk to me when prices go low? You know, we can talk about that sometime. And shout out to anybody when they go down. Heard me last week on a W something in Ohio. So thank you to them that listened to me.
By the way, you just brought me to my pet peeve of last week.
Oh,
so I'm coming back. My wife and I are driving back from Houston Thursday afternoon, trying to beat the ice. The roads from refreezing over again in Mansfield, and I was running low on gas, so I had to pull over in Huntsville, Texas, to get gas.
You went to Buc-ee's,
and there is no Buc-ee's in Huntsville.
Oh, Madison.
This is the problem.
Okay,
so I pull off, and there's a Phillips 66 station, and all you folks at Phillips 66, y'all need to rein whoever owns this filling station on I-45 in, because I pull up there, and unfortunately, I got one of these European cars that requires premium gas, and I'm about to fill the car up when I look down at the tank, and the price is $4.99
what
for a gallon of premium, and regular was $4.29 at this station. Well, the previous Monday, as we were driving down to Houston, we filled up at Buc-ee's for $3.89 for premium. Okay,
wow.
So this, whoever owns that Phillips 66 station is price gouging, because they figure they have a captive audience coming in off of I-45, including stupid old me. But I just, all you folks at Phillips 66, he's got your brand on his gasoline.
Wow.
You might want to make a phone call and tell them to get a little more reasonable with their retail prices.
Stu, go ahead and give Uncle Joe a call back. I mean, because he talks about that all the time, that we're,
Well, I found the one example.
There's the one. So he's not a liar, is what you're saying.
Oh, I know. And David, I think I sent you some of those Let's Go Brandon stickers for your walker.
Yes.
You know, those are some good, you know, you got it when you're doing your walker thing, man. Let's Go Brandon on your walker. That's a good look.
I put so many of those stickers on gas pumps all over Texas the last couple of years.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, I have to give a shout out to the mountain lion over here. I mean, last night I had a mountain lion scare the hoo-ha out of me over here. And if you've ever heard a mountain lion, it does sound like my ex-wife. I mean, I puckered up and I pulled a Joe Biden on me here. My Depends was full. I mean, it was like, bing. My dog was looking at me going, hey, dude, you're on your own, dude. So anyway, with that, we're going to go around the corner here. David, what's coming around the corner for you, and what do you think everybody should see?
Oh, I'm excited. This week, I'm interviewing both Tammy Nemeth and the great Meredith Angwin, the author of Shorting the Grid, for my Energy Question podcast this week. And if you've missed it, I just posted on Sunday my interview with Daniel Juergen.
It was great.
Yeah, the author of The Prize and the New Map. It's terrific. Yep. He gave me his views on the energy transition.
Yep.
Go to my Substack at blackman.substack.com, and you can see it there.
Hey, on a side note, I'm going to give a shout out to Meredith. Her Shorting the Grid, not Shorten the Grid, as we say up here in Oklahoma, but Shorten the Grid.
Shorting
the Grid is absolutely a phenomenal book. Go
it really
get
it is.
Because physics don't lie. Physics and finance don't lie on the grid. So great job, David, for scoring that one. Hey, RT, what do you got coming up?
Oh, man, we just got a full week ahead. As far as EMP work goes, got a few fracks we got to get going, hopefully this week, as long as the weather permits. If you haven't checked out my latest episode of The Crew Truth with Jay Young, a fellow operator and a motivational guy, and also used to be part owner of the Texas Rangers. So if you want to kind of go nostalgia a little bit, listen about the World Series days or World Series, definitely take a look at it. But also I look forward to dropping my newest episode of The Crude Truth with the newest professor at TCU at the Ralph Lowe Energy Institute, Tom C. And so be on the lookout for that one here the next week. So we got a great week ahead and looking forward to it.
I got a bunch of, I got like five I'm recording this week, and I've got a bunch more. Now that's not including my daily show, which is five a week. And I'd like to thank all my listeners. I think I've got five of them, and they rotate in. And honestly, our group at Sandstone Media if we stay on this path at Sandstone Media, which you guys are running your podcast through, I think within a month or two, we're going to be hitting 300,000 downloads a month off of our podcast.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that is sponsor worthy.
Well, that's very sponsor worthy. And but, you know, I will say this. I think with what you're doing, I have to compare the energy absurdity, as awesome as that is every day,
right,
to what you are doing with the Energy News Beat Daily. Those two things right there really help you get your day going in the oil and gas industry. There's only just stuff about. So, you know, there's my shameless promotion. Definitely check out the Energy Absurdity of the Day with David Blackman on LinkedIn or Twitter, right, and the Energy News Beat Daily Show on obviously energynewsbeat.com.
Hey, we're going to try to drop this show tomorrow, and we are committed or committable. I'm not sure which, but we are committed to once a week, and we're getting these bad dogs out because of the feedback. Ask us questions.
Yes.
Send us notes. We love our fans. Thank you all very much. We will see you all next week.